Galatians chapter 1. If you've got one of these, it's on page 822. But my favourite trick is to turn to the table of contents and look up the name and then find the number. Because I'm a bit slow like that. Alright, Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished to see that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later to return to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went up to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me.
Minister Vaughan Roberts, Minister at St Eads in Oxford, argued at CMS Summer School this year, if we get rid of God, all we have left is our own thoughts and act as though they are all true. The world runs as though all truths are equal and then wonders why systems fail. Is listening to my own wisdom rather than God's any different to thinking all truths are equal? Saying to myself, but what God really meant was, and then doing my own thing, much better than world saying, whatever I dream of is true. The big idea of this passage is, it is God's gospel, not man's delusions or additions. I'll say again, the big idea of this passage is it is God's gospel, not man's delusions or additions. When we listen to our own wisdom and think we are clever, we should take off our shoes and smell our feet and we'll wake up. Let's talk to God. Lord, help us to see clearly the gospel is yours, not our additions. It is your thoughts that matter, not our imaginations. And it is your gospel that changes us. We do not change your gospel. My first point is what is in the gospel, looking at verses 3 to 9. The message is simple. Jesus died for our sins, yet people add their two bobs worth, constantly adding to that message of grace. The key verses I'm drawing on here for this point is in 3 and 4. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us. Paul's concern at the time is also well summarised in 6 and 7. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Some Christians seem to think it's a matter of the gospel plus causes. Some people seem to think it's the gospel plus climate change, or the gospel plus social justice, or the gospel plus welfare work. I've heard people state that to be a Christian, you must take on a cause. Balderdash. Grace and grace alone. The gospel is simple. Fighting for a cause does not save us. It does not give us grace. It is Christ's grace that saves us. How many of these causes point to the diseases, not the cure itself? How we respond to the grace we are given does not change God's offer of grace in itself. He is constantly offering it. It will not alter it. God chooses to give us grace because he chooses to give us grace, for no other reason. Adam and Eve pretended they were God by letting themselves fall for the serpent's words and think they were God. Ever since then, we've been thinking we know what is right and can do it all our own way. As a result, we've been destroying ourselves, our society, our world, doing it our own way. We've constantly reinvented the game to suit ourselves, and that temptation remains once we're in the church. Is it time to say, get a grip on this matter of grace? The Galatians had been sold a lie. You have to also be circumcised to be a Christian. It was a lie that they were conned with. Grace came because we can't do a thing to save ourselves. Grace came because it is a pivot point, proving God's relationship to his creation. Grace came because God does not want to destroy us, but to love us and give us life. People in Galatia were telling believers they had to follow the old rules to be saved. They had to observe practices even strict Jews struggled with. Grace is the love and mercy given to us by God because God desires us to have it, not because of anything we have done to earn it. Jesus gave us the best example of how simple receiving grace is. The receival of the gift of grace is a very quick act. If we look at Dr. Luke's word in chapter 23, we hear the thief saying, "We are punished justly for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." There's not a lot of room there. You'd think the Romans would have pulled up stunts for a while the chap went off and got circumcised, or joined a church committee for a while. No room at all. It was a simple, grace was given, clear and simple. There's nothing else could happen. For me, does grace come about because I might be on a committee or two here at St. Stephen's? Or do I earn grace because I work with Kairos and go up to the prison and talk to inmates, or work on the director of Kairos Prison Ministries Australia? None of that does anything. Grace is offered to me pure and simple because God chooses to offer it. Not at all. We look to causes to deal with our fallen state. We get theologically clever, have Bible studies, and act as though denominations are other than boundary markers. Some wear dresses and have smells and bells. Others think that the lack of ceremony amounts to something. In terms of being working with Kairos, I worked with a young chap up here at Bathurst Correctional Centre called Matt. Through his life, he'd been sexually abused from 5 to 13 years of age. The family trade was armed holdup, not exactly a life-affirming trade within a family. What was I there to offer him? He heard the message of grace and took on that message of hope. His life was turned around. But that was all we were there to offer him. Nothing prescriptions as to his life. We were there to offer the grace Christ gave to us all. And he in fact took it up. In terms of salvation, as I've said, the bill for our sins was paid 2,000 years ago. So do we think we can chip in with a tip? Do we think we can chip in to add to the payment? I'll say again, in terms of salvation, the bill of our sins was paid 2,000 years ago. We cannot add to it. It's a long time ago. My second point is whose thoughts matter. God's thoughts matter, not man's. I draw here on verses 11 and 12. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. When we're working with world-class professors, it's very obvious that self-importance can be very clearly seen. Everyone thinks they know the best. All of them jockey for position, and all of them think they can tell the rest of us how to suck eggs, as one might say it. How to live our lives. People were telling the Galatians they had to follow the old rules. They believed they'd worked out what to do and followed their own wisdom. And so say you can have grace, but you also have to do this or that. All their own thoughts, none of it from God's word. We always think we are far more clever than we are. We are far too clever by half. How am I adding to God's message of grace but by thinking my thoughts instead of God's? Do I think there are people who can't be forgiven, for instance? Do I think there's particular acts I must undertake to be forgiven? God is clear. His grace is offered to all. It's a gift. Having been a member or attended just about all the main denominations in Australia, I'm reminded how often we add to the gospel. I've been part of a group that believed I had to have full immersion baptism to be saved. I've been part of a group that saw dress wearing and the smells and bells as being an essential part. I've been part of a group that similarly thought speaking in tongues and being charismatic was essential to grace. I've been through most of the things that people say that add to the gospel. You name it, someone had thoughts as to what added to grace. Amongst the Galatians, there are people arguing about the Jewish rituals and traditions, notably circumcision. None of these things added one iota to grace, nor were they essential. Grace is Christ died on the cross for me to save me. Whose thoughts then should be listening to? Those who are busily saying, but, you have to add this, or but, you have to add that. It's very interesting, the King James Bible, published in 1611, is famous for many things. It wasn't the first Christian English language Bible that was published. There'd been the Tyndale Bible in 1525 and the Geneva Bible in 1560, but James set about to make corrections to problems in those Bibles. Few, however, pay attention to the most critical thing that James was thinking about in producing his Bible. James believed when you listen to a preacher, you should be able to go home and check what he said for yourselves. Check it in the Word. Don't believe what people tell you. The Bible itself, the words of God, are the primary source. Always go to the primary source and check out what you're told. That is God's thoughts. Not what I think in this sermon or whatever anyone else thinks. The Word of God itself. So far we've seen in what I've presented about Galatians 1, two things. Firstly, the message is simple. Jesus died for our sins, yet people add their two bobs worth. God's grace was freely given. Secondly, God's thoughts matter, not man's. My third point is, should the gospel change me, or I change the gospel. The gospel changes me. I don't change the gospel ever. With Paul, it was the most spectacular change. In 14 to 16, he's saying, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age, among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Paul's early life saw him sticking to the letter of the law, to the customs and traditions of being a Jew. He was the rising star of his times, much like Bernard Tomic is the rising star of Australian tennis at the moment. As Paul says, he was zealous. He gave 100% to doing the Jewish stick. How much of Paul and those traditions did he keep when God stepped in and changed the JPEG on his desktop? Did he join the goats and say, oh, but, I have to also do this? He was clear in his preaching, the gospel of Christ, the grace of God, was what it was about. When I think about life as a Christian at different points, I've been baptised because I was told it was critical. I've dressed in a particular manner because I was told it was critical, as I've said. I've been to charismatic services because I've been told that was critical. I think it was genuine passion and more. How much of that was me changing the gospel? How often have I either argued for one or another position or spoken as though it was part of grace? Did all these things amount to a hill of beans, to steal a phrase out of the film Casablanca, in terms of receiving God's grace? In terms of Paul's life, once he encountered Jesus, he lived and spoke of grace alone. The gospel totally changed him. Be wary of human traditions. They are often the source of changing the gospel to fit our desires or the desires of others. If anyone adds a single point to the gospel, run a mile. Don't hang around. Jesus died for our sins, period. Should I look at the traditions of the church and follow them, or should I look to grace and grace alone? Grace fixes me. I don't change the rules, saying I have to be on a committee here at church or go to Kairos up at jail, or take the gospel at grace at face value and act accordingly. The gospel changes me. I don't change the gospel. I've made 3 points about Galatians 1, namely, firstly, the message is simple. Jesus died for our sins, yet people add their two bob's worth. God's grace is freely given. Secondly, God's thought matters, not man's thoughts. Thirdly, the gospel changes me. I don't change the gospel. C.S. Lewis has claimed to have said a pluralistic society, that is one that believes everything is true, has bred men without chests. What we have instead is people with egos who think they know better. Ego means edging God out. Ego means edging God out. Paul made clear to the Galatians, the sum total of the message is Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us. The sum total of it is Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us. Jesus died to save us. We must never add or subtract from that, because as soon as we do, we con ourselves. Grace is the love and mercy given to us by God because God desires us to have it, not because of anything we have done to earn it. Will we have chests and stand for the truth of grace being the unearned gift of God, or have inflated egos, edge God out, and add our own ideas? In conclusion, the big idea of this passage is, it is God's gospel, not man's delusions or additions. Let's talk to God again. Lord, help us to see clearly. You gave us grace freely. We don't earn it. The gospel is yours alone, not our additions. It is your thoughts that matter, not our imaginations. And it is your gospel that changes us. We do not change your gospel.